Hebrews 5, verse 14, and then, where are you at? Tony, Tony's over here. Tony, if you could read Hebrews 12, 11. Tony, you got me? Okay. And then Daniel and Rayana, if you could read Hebrews 9, 14 and 10, 22. And then, who's right behind you? Ken? Yeah, one of them. And could you read Romans 2:15, please? Romans 2:15. And your wife, Romans 9, 1. And then Steve behind him, Hebrews 4:12. And then Brian, 2 Corinthians 1:12. Joe, 1 Timothy 1:5. And then Tony, 1 Timothy 1:7 and 19. And then who's next? That would be Barbara, 1 Timothy 4:1 and 2. And then Suzanne, Titus chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. Bob, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 to 23. And then last but not least, Terry, 1 Peter 3, verses 20 to 22. Everybody got your assignment? Not yet. Oh, Acts something. Very good. You're probably sleeping. No, I'm only kidding. Acts 24, 16. First, we're going to start, and I'm going to read in John chapter 8. This is a great portion of Scripture that I want to... You all there? John 8? Everybody? John 8, we're going to read down from verse 1 to verse 11. It says, Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and he taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger, wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, that means more than one time, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Then again he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Well, I want you to notice verse 6. It says that Jesus knelt down, stooped down, and he wrote with his finger upon the ground as though he heard them not. I like that. He just ignored them. But they kept asking him, And he stood up and he said, Let him that is without any sin among you, let him cast the stone first. And he stooped back down and he wrote on the ground again. Now, I love this whole scenario, but this is the only place in Scripture where Jesus wrote anything. It's the only place in Scripture that we know of that Jesus actually wrote. And we know as Jesus being God. So it is literally the finger of God on the earth writing in the ground. And we see the result of that, what Jesus wrote, and we don't know what he wrote, do we? I believe I know, but maybe you don't know. So he wrote on the ground, and if you notice, as he compares writing on the ground, something's happening in the hearts of the people around him, because all of a sudden they're getting convicted, they're getting their own consciences bothering them so bad that they drop the rocks and they leave. And that's what I want to see, that this is about your conscience and how your conscience saved a woman today. In this day, your conscience or their conscience saved a woman. Would you please read Exodus chapter 31, verse 18, please.
And he gave unto Moses when he had made an end of communing with
him. Can't hear him, Brian. Yeah, is it light on?
I see.
Okay. There you go. Try it again.
And he gave unto Moses when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God.
You see what it said? Moses got the tables of stone that were written with the finger of God. It's the only place in Scripture where God wrote anything. I mean, God himself, the finger of God, wrote the Ten Commandments. We have them up on that board up there, and you know they're written in stone. And that's with the finger of God. Now here we have the New Testament, Jesus going down, stooping down and writing with his finger on the ground. Now, we also have much understanding in the New Testament, what they didn't have, but we have Mark 4:4 and Luke 8, that Jesus gives us the parable, and he said, you have to understand this parable to be able to understand anything. He said, the ground are people's hearts. That's what he said. So what he was doing as God, the finger of God, the same finger that wrote the Ten Commandments in stone and gave them to Moses, same finger. And he wrote down, and he was writing the commandments of God on the ground, which really was going in the hearts of everyone there. And as soon as he stood up, he said, okay, you that was out sin. He quoted the Ten Commandments, and he knew that all of them were breakers of it. And here, in their conscience is talking to them. Do you ever have your conscience talk to you? That's a great thing when your conscience talks to you. Your conscience is like an exact link with the Holy Spirit of God. When the Holy Spirit of God comes into a person and that person gets saved, and all of a sudden that spirit and our spirit and God's spirit is together, and our conscience now is made alive. And it's more alive than it's ever been. And all of a sudden you go to say something, do something, go somewhere, and all of a sudden your conscience is like, and you know, you're like, whoa, I don't feel like doing that anymore. And it changes you, doesn't it? The conscience of man saved this woman from being stoned to death because their conscience. Here he wrote with his finger on the ground. He wrote the Ten Commandments in their hearts. And what did the Bible say? It says they're being convicted of their own conscience. Have you ever been convicted of your own conscience? It's a beautiful thing, I'm telling you right now. Don't ever try not to get convicted of your own conscience, because a lot of people, they don't want their conscience telling them. They don't want it bugging them. They don't want to feel bad. But that feeling bad is the finger of God writing on your heart. Could you imagine you being there? And the finger of God's writing on your heart that you lied, you cheated, you stole, you don't honor God. Like, oh, and then you say, I don't care anyway, I'm going to kill her. And then you killed this woman. Could you imagine that person that did that? That is really a rotten, horrible person. And you know, thank goodness that that isn't you. And thank goodness that's not them. I want you, who's next going to read the book of Acts, chapter 24, verse 16, if you would, please.
So I strive always to keep my conscience clear before Woo. God and man.
Amen. I strive always. Okay. It doesn't say strive, it says, and herein I do exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense towards God and towards men. You don't have a King James Bible, do you? I know, you need one. I have one for you. Some nice, handsome guy with a lot of hair gave me these Bibles today. Oh man, you should see this Bible this really handsome guy gave me today. He was so, he had all kinds of hair, handsome, tall, beautiful wife, beautiful family. Amen. That's Ken back there I'm talking about. Ken keeps getting these great deals and these awesome Bibles, really good Bibles. But listen. It says, herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense towards God and towards men. This doesn't come natural. You don't just all of a sudden have a good conscience towards God and man. You have to exercise yourself for that. You literally have to work at it. You've got to be actively, Anton, working, exercising. That's what exercise means. Matter of fact, who's got the next verse? Tony or Anton?
This is Hebrews
9:14. No, 5:14. 5:14.
But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
Do you hear what he said? He said, people that have learned that you have to exercise your senses to know good and right and wrong, good and evil. Because what happens is too many people, they don't recognize They're saying something wrong, doing something wrong, acting, hurting people. How many times has your mouth got you in trouble? Come on. Thank you. Thank you. For a second, I was going to be like, it's only going to be me, Rihanna. You know, Rihanna usually says amen. I'm like, thank you, Rihanna. But that time I knew she wasn't going to say anything. I thought it was going to be only me. It's like the Bible says, out of the multitude of words, there lacketh not sin. Meaning the more you talk, the more you're going to say something wrong. And my job is talking, so I'm going to say something wrong all the time. Amen? But the thing is when you hurt somebody with those words, or you said something you just ought not have said, or how about even you're supposed to keep a secret, and you said something, but like you let it slip out because you just couldn't wait to tell somebody. That's sin. That's wrong. And your conscience should bug you. Your conscience should bug you. You should lay in bed at night. And your conscience should be all over you going, I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I did that. I can't believe that. That's why you're up all night. So what do you do when your conscience is bothering you? You have to go to that person and make it right. That's why he says, I've exercised myself that I have a good conscience toward God and man. So if I said anything against you, I go to you and I'm sorry. Please forgive me. So at least, even if you don't forgive me, at least I'm laying in bed going, well, I asked for forgiveness. See, you can only do so much, but it's your conscience is the one who's like God telling you what to do, what not to do. And when you do it or don't do it, you're going to have a certain feeling inside of you. And it's great to have a clear conscience. It's great to have a clear conscience. Who's next? Hebrews 12:11.
Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby.
See, we're talking about how you exercise your conscience. Because if you don't use your conscience, if you don't give in to your conscience is going to just slowly die off.
That's right.
And then you won't hear from God at all. You're going to be a mess. Even when the preacher starts preaching, it won't even get through. It says that we know that no chastening, that's a spanking by God. No chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but it's grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them, only unto them that are exercised by it. They realize what's going on. See, I'll tell you right now, I'm not you and you're not me, okay? But where I am with the Lord, if I do one little thing wrong, my conscience is killing me. Yeah, it's not so amen. I confess it. I ask God to forgive me. But it bugs me. My conscience bugs me. And I feel like I'm not free. I feel like I don't have liberty to preach, to teach, to sing, to whatever. I don't have that uplifted spirit. You just feel kind of like a guilt or shame upon you. I don't know why. All I know is that it happens all of us. And see, my sin, and I'm being honest, it's not even like you probably wouldn't think it's nothing. But to me, it's like it's everything. The slightest little thing. There's a verse in the Bible that says that when you're close to God and somebody offers God an offering with a bad heart, it's like cutting a dog's head off. It's like disgusting. It's vile to God. And what I'm saying is why I said that crazy verse is because to some people, the smallest little sin is going to be like the biggest heavy weight upon them. And other people, they're living in sin, taking a bath in sin, and it doesn't even bother them. And that's why you have to exercise your conscience. Make sure that you keep your conscience always, always alert and just talking to you. Because that's how God, the Holy Spirit of God, talks to you. Do you ever have a bad thought towards somebody? Do you ever look down on somebody, like maybe some hobo or drug addict or, you know, a thief? And you're like, you don't say nothing, you know what I mean? But inside, you're thinking, oh, man, that dude's a loser. You know, that girl, man, she's a scumbag. You know, like in your head. I know nobody else would say that code of word. I know Dwayne would say, I want to throat punch her because he wants to throat punch everybody. I don't understand. What's a thunder kick anyway? What is a thunder kick? A thunder kick back this way and straight up to the chest? So what, you can't catch it and flip the guy?
Oh.
All right. Amen. He always wants a thunder kick and throat punch people. And me and Brian are all back in the office going, I don't want to get in his bad side. He's going to thunder kick us, man. Amen. My conscience right now wants me to say something. No, I'm kidding. All right, so listen, who's next? Who's next? What do we got? We got Hebrews 9:14.
How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?
See, he's telling us that there's a way to purge your conscience. See, you can purge it, make it clean, get it right with God, so you don't have that feeling. Have you ever, am I the only one that's ever had a feeling of like just guilt and shame, even though you confessed it, even you just feel like dirty? Yeah. And I hate that feeling. And it takes a little while to go away, doesn't it? It doesn't go away right as soon as you confess it, even though it should, because we know that the Bible says that the blood of Christ purges our sin and cleanses us. Amen. Look what it said. Read what. Where was that? What verse was that again? 14? I'm trying to look at it. Where is it? Oh, yeah, there it goes. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, what a great verse, offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience. Now, I'm just here to tell you right now that if you've got a bad conscience, you can get it purged. You can get it clean. You can get it working right. Amen. That's what we all need to get tonight, is that we need to exercise our consciences. We got to make sure that every little thing. I'll never forget, we were at a tent meeting at our old church years ago, 20-some years ago. And this old preacher from down in Georgia, actually, Sammy Allen's group, came up. And one of his guys that came with him, and his name was Mike Edwards, and he had like the biggest, thickest neck I've ever seen, and his head was like crooked like this, and he all talked like, "Brother Mike, how you doing, Brother Mike?" He was a big man, big. I mean, his fingers were like my wrists. You know, when you shook your hand, it was like. He was a good old boy from down there, and he was something else, man. I'll tell you what. His daughter was with him, and she stood up one time and gave a little testimony in under the tent. It was a great time, everything going well, and she stood up and she said something, and then she sat down. Everybody was like, "Praise the Lord, amen." Someone else went to some, and she started bursting out crying. And we had no clue what's going on. She stood up. She said, "Please forgive me. I said something the Holy Spirit didn't tell me to say." And at the time, we're all like, "That's weird. Like, who does that? Who acts like that?" And she stood up and was so upset because her conscience was telling her, "I didn't tell you to say that." And it's like, wow, back then, I didn't understand it. But later on, I started to understand it. When you were that close with the God and your Holy Spirit and your conscience so awake, so alive, everything you ever utter, everything you ever think, even the thoughts and the intents of your heart, God that manifests and says, "I know what you're thinking. I know what your real attitude is. I know what your real thing." You know what I mean? It's like, whoa. And that's your conscience inside, because you can't get away from your conscience. Your conscience is you. Amen. All right, next one.
Hebrews 10:22 says, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water."
Woo! See that? He tells us, let us draw near with a what? A true heart. You can't have a true heart until you come to God truly with your real conscience and knowing. See, if your conscience is like bothering you, you need to go to God. Amen. You need to go to God and you need to confess it. Because 1 John 1:7-9, or verse some 7-9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, wash us from all unrighteousness. Amen. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, because he says we have, and we make him a liar. Think about it, your conscience is telling you that you sinned, and you're telling the conscience, "You're a liar, I didn't sin." And your conscience is saying, "Oh, yes, you did. You know you did. Oh, no, I didn't." And you're sitting there arguing with yourself. You ever been there? Yes. "Nah, I wasn't wrong. It wasn't wrong. I didn't really mean that." I'll tell you right now, what are they running for? Their conscience is bothering them. Look at that. They did something wrong. They're running out the door. Are you guys listening to me, or are you listening to the rain? When your conscience convicts you and tells you, your conscience knows exactly what you're thinking, what your intents were. Because you could even do a good deed, but your intents being wrong. Do you understand that? And your conscience, you could do something really great for somebody, but your intents were wrong, and your conscience is going to eat at you until you get it right. So you got to get it right with God and then go get it right with the person. Because you know what? 99% of the time, the people don't even know you did anything wrong. But your conscience is never going to feel clean until you go to them and say, listen, I'm really sorry. I've had many people come to me, Tony, and say, Pastor, I'm sorry. You know, I was thinking this of you. And I'm like, I didn't have no clue. Don't worry about it. You know, it's like, I didn't even think about it. But the Holy Spirit told them to do it. Or I should say their conscience told them to do it. And you need to do it. Amen. Who's next? Romans 2:15.
Romans 2:15. Which those through the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bear witness, and their thoughts, the meaning, while accusing or else excuse one another.
Amen. You hear that? Which show the works of the law, which is the Ten Commandments, written in their where? In their hearts. That's what Jesus Christ was doing when he was writing his finger. He was writing the law of God in their people's hearts. Thou shalt not. Because they brought this woman and said, look, it's written that you got it. She should be killed. And he paid him no mind, just kept writing. And they kept saying it. And he stood up and said, well, okay, well, you who's without sin, you cast the first stone. Go ahead. And all of a sudden, he wrote back down, stooped back down, start writing again, probably another sin he knew they all committed. You know, in their conscience, every one of them was convicting them. And they all dropped the stones and said, oh boy. And they walked out. And that's a good thing to think of the next time you want to judge somebody. The next time you want to think bad about somebody. You know, just remember, when you're pointing at somebody, three fingers are pointing back at you. Three times more have you sinned. Anyway, so who's got the next one? It says, which shows the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, that meanwhile, they're either accusing or excusing one another. Your conscience is either going to say, you're cool, you did right, you did good, you have nothing to worry about. Your conscience ever done that? Come on. I know mine has. I know sometimes I'm like, oh no, I probably shouldn't have. But then my conscience says, no, you were right in that. You didn't say anything wrong. You told that person the truth and you loved them and you didn't, you know what I mean? Because the Bible tells us to tell people the truth in what? In love. Care about them. Why would I tell somebody that they're doing something wrong if it were not for two reasons? One, to try to make myself better than them, put them down, or to help them because I love them, right? There's only two reasons you tell somebody they're doing something wrong. One is because you want to be the judge and jury, or you want to feel better about yourself, put them down, or because you love them and you're trying to help them. But who knows that? The people you tell doesn't know that. They might get mad at you. They might, yeah, I can't believe it. You know what I mean? Do you ever have someone mad at you because you tried to tell them the truth? But in all real, in your conscience, I just tell them because I love them. You know, as a father, Steve, stop. Steve's messing with the electric. Steve, stop messing with the electric. Anyway, as a father, you listening? As a husband, and as a pastor, and as a boss of a company, an owner of a company, I got to act and be a certain way that I wouldn't really want to do. As a father, I don't want to have to lay down the law. I don't want to have to tell my children this, that, or the other. As a husband, I don't want to have to reprimand my wife. You know, as a pastor, there's a lot of things that I don't want to do. I don't feel comfortable doing them, but I do them because God says it's the right thing to do. Man up and do what's right. Can I get a witness? Amen. Man, you guys are really worried about this storm. Okay, let's move on. Who's got the next one?
Romans 9:1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost.
My conscience bearing witness in the Holy Ghost. You see, that just showing to prove you that your conscience in the Holy Ghost, that's what happens when you get born again. And the Spirit of God comes in, he quickens you. He makes alive your conscience. That's why when you get saved, Tom, and as soon as you get saved, you go to do the things you did every single day, and they're going to start to change because you're not going to feel good about doing them anymore. I didn't feel good about smoking anymore. I quit. I didn't feel good about going to the bar anymore. I quit. I didn't feel good ever even thinking about a drug. It was like a throw up. It was disgusting. I didn't feel good about listening to certain music. I didn't feel good about hearing cursing. I didn't feel good when somebody used God's name in vain. I didn't feel good. Do you understand? Because my conscience now is alive. And it's like you've got your mother back with you. When you're a kid, don't you do that. Don't you go and tell that person you're sorry. You know, your mom's like, oh, Mom, go ahead, tell little Johnny you're sorry for taking his toy. You know what I mean? It's like, are you serious? Yeah, I'm serious. Because he's our father. And the Holy Spirit's our mother. Amen. Who's next? Second Corinthians chapter 1. No, 1 Timothy 1, 5. 1 Timothy, right? Hebrews 4, 12. Okay, go ahead.
For the word of God is quick, alive, and powerful, and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
So what I want you to know is, a lot of times I don't even discern my own intents. The Holy Spirit does. And then I got to go and spend time in prayer and say, oh, what wretched man that I am. As Apostle Paul said, David said, I'm a worm. You know what David called himself? King David, man after God's own heart. Daniel called himself a maggot. He said, I'm worse than a worm. He says, I'm lower than a worm in a wagon rut in the bottom of the ocean. You know, he's like, you can't get any lower of a man. Next verse.
That's
2 Corinthians 1:12.
2 Corinthians 1:12. And we have, for our rejoicing is this, that the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you, Lord.
Our rejoicing is this, that our testimony of our conscience, a testimony of our conscience speaking to us, that gives you great rejoice knowing that you're okay. I got a good conscience. How many of us have messed up and done some things wrong?
Yes, sir.
Well, I want your conscience to tell you what it is and go fix it. It's not going to ever go away. God never forgets unless he wants to. So my point is, go and make it right with that person. You say, well, I haven't seen him in 2 years. Find him. Send him a letter. Send him a text. Just let them know. Just do what your conscience is telling you to do, and it'll lift burdens that you'll have no idea. Burdens are lifted, and you'll feel so good, and you think where you're at now is where you're supposed to be. No, there's so much joy to be had, so much lighter to be. Amen. Next verse. 1 Timothy 1:5.
Now the end of the commandment is charity out of pure heart and of good conscience and of faith unfeigned.
From which some have swerved and having turned aside unto vain janglings. Now the end of the commandment, think about this. The end of the commandment, the fulfillment of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience. So God wants you to have a good conscience. Think about that. And how many times we go through our day, not a good conscience. Just do what you, go and make it right. Tell someone you're sorry. Is it really that hard? You're not getting all your teeth pulled. They're not going to poke you in the eye. You know, just tell someone, I shouldn't have said that to you. Please forgive me. I was wrong. You were right. I think we should practice that. Go look in the mirror every day. I was wrong. Somebody used to be like, I was. You know, my wife, I'm going to have her practice saying, I am sorry, because she said it twice to me in 30 years. It's the truth. She never says she's sorry. But you know why? Because I think she believes she's always right. And I mean that. And that's why people don't say they're sorry. Because what is, you might be right. Just say you are. Doesn't mean your conscience is going to make you feel right. You can be right and be wrong. You know what I'm saying, right? You can be right in what you said. You can be right in what you thought. You can be right, but it was wrong spirit, wrong attitude, wrong way to do it, wrong timing. Do you ever like say the right thing at the wrong time? My wife always says that to me. She says, it's not what you said, it's how you said it. You know what I mean? I'm like, well, I don't know how to talk like this. I talk louder when, anyway, but next verse.
Okay, First Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 and 19. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor wherefore they affirm. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made them shipwreck.
You see that? It says holding faith and a good conscience, which some have put away concerning faith and they become shipwrecked. That's what will happen to you. Your conscience will literally not talk. You'll be on a desert island. You'll be shipwrecked. You won't be able to be used in the ministry. You won't be able to be used winning souls. You won't be able to be used with anointing and spirit and the power of God, all because you wouldn't do what's right in the faith of God. And the number one thing of faith is God is forgive, obey, be faithful, and all these little simple things, but it's all your conscience. You know, one I like personally, and I'm not saying this for any other reason, just popped in my mind, but like missing church, I'm just saying, and I know you don't miss church, you're here Sunday night, but missing church, like I could never miss church for no reason. Like if you have good reason, you got good reason, your conscience is clear. I had to work, I had to go to the hospital. You know, my foot was cut off and it was bleeding to death, I had to go, Pastor, sorry. I'll probably still say, no, it's not a good enough reason. No, I'm kidding. You ever see those commercials, those memes where the snow is over the guy's car and he's digging them out and the pastor says, well, you coming or not, you know? But your conscience will tell you whether you really could have went, because a couple times certain things that I was supposed to do, but I didn't feel like it, or I was too tired at the moment, and I made up all kinds of excuses in my mind why not to go there, and I sat back on my, yeah, that's right, I don't have to, and then all of a sudden my conscience is like, hello, remember me? I know exactly what you're thinking. I know the real reason you did, because you wanted to watch that movie. I know the real reason you did, because you wanted to eat dinner or whatever. You know what I mean? And that's the thoughts intent your heart. Next.
Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from faith, giving heed to the seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron.
Woo! Do you see that? The Spirit is speaking expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. That means not listening to your conscience, listen to some other spirit. You know, that's why it says try the spirits, test the spirits, see if they be of God. How do you know if they're God? Because they're going to be good. Amen? And it says, speaking lies and hypocrisy. They're being hypocrites, having their conscience seared. What does that mean to you when you think of seared with a hot iron? What's that mean, scarred? Do you ever have a big scar? Do you ever see somebody? I don't know what they are, but I see people with like horseshoe-looking things on their sports figures, and they got these horseshoe-looking scar tattoos. You ever see one? Anyone see one? What are they? Somebody branded them? What are they, crazy? Yes. They're branding themselves. Wow, I guess that means slave to Satan. But anyway, that it's all raised, and it's thick, and it's hard. That's from seared. You know what that means? It's you don't feel it. Do you ever have a scar where it's numb there? You don't feel it anymore. Searing your conscience with a hot iron. I'm telling you right now, it's very serious. We're almost done. Next one. Titus.
Titus 1:15-16. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled.
Wow.
They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate.
Wow, do you see that? Even their minds and their conscience. Could you imagine having a defiled conscience? That means your conscience is telling you did good when you didn't. I'm just telling you how far it can go. Yeah, that's why you have to exercise your conscience, keep it right. Amen? Next one.
1 Peter 2, verses 18 to 22. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when you are buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently?
Into the microphone, Bob. Closer. Microphone, closer.
But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, that is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps.
Amen. See,
did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth.
What did I tell you, 22? Yes, sir. Thank you, Bob. Thank you. When you're talking in that microphone, you got to get really close for some reason. But anyway, I want you to think about that verse. If you're not there, it says, it's a thankworthy. If a man for conscience sake, towards God, for conscience sake, he endures grief, suffering wrongfully, even being buffeted. He says, if you get in trouble for your faults, that's on you. But if you get in trouble for doing stuff and you didn't do it wrong, that's like godly. Christ was punched in the face, buffeted, they called him names, and he didn't even rail back. He didn't do anything. He kept it back. The Bible here tells us that this is what God wants. He said, Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow after his steps. It says, what glory is it if you be buffeted for your faults and you take it patiently? But if when you do well, you do what's right and you suffer for it and you take it patiently, that's accepted to God. Amen. Too many of us want to argue and fight and be right. When God's saying, if somebody's railing at you and calling you names and all that stuff, just take it. I didn't write the book. I don't even can't even explain it all 100% to tell you. All I'm telling you is that that's what God said, because that's what Christ was our example, and he took it. When they railed in on him, called him names, he just was quiet. He didn't say anything. How many times when I know Ken never has a problem with this, but like when Ken never gets angry at anybody. Whenever anybody in the front of him is driving slow, he just says, God bless you, my friend. God bless you, my friend, because I'm going to shoot you and put you on the side of the road. No, my point is that we all of us have to deal. This is down to earth where the rubber meets the road Christianity. And this is the stuff where your conscience is going to tell you that was not Christian-like. And you say, yeah, but that guy said this. Yeah, but, you know, sheep obey and goats butt. And that's why Jesus is going to separate the sheep from the goats, buddy. And that's why he says sheep obey. And when you read something like this, and God, you hear God telling you that you're supposed to take Christ as an example, and you don't go railing back. Somebody calls you a name, just let it roll off your back like water on a duck's back. Because that's what Christians do. You don't need to fight. You don't need to argue. You don't need to tell people you're right. You know why? Because God knows that you're right. And your conscience knows you're right. You can be right as rain. Righter than rain. As soon as you open your mouth about it, you're no longer right. And then you're going to be laying in bed and your conscience will be like, you shouldn't have said that to them. You should have never talked that way. You shouldn't have been angry. You shouldn't have had that attitude. Because in all reality, our attitude shows what's going on in our heart. Amen. You don't have to do anything really wrong, but an attitude. Parents, when you see your children, you tell your children, you see the attitude, the eye rolls. Oh my goodness, you kidding me? I'd have been woken up about 3 hours later. My mother would have kapowed me. I tell you, I miss the good old days where you're allowed to knock your children out. I got knocked out, man. I got clobbered, man. I mean clobbered. Like you're seeing the cartoons of little Tweety birds going tweet, 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 tweet. And you're like, what just happened? Don't ever say that again. I'm like, whoa, man, you got that right. My point is, you know what's worse than a clobbering like this? When the Holy Spirit clobbers you. When the conviction of the Lord. Let's go, last one. 1 Peter 3, verse 20.
Which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Woo! Amen. Right there. Stop right there. Do you guys hear that? He says, the like figure, talking about Noah and the days of Noah and the ark and preparing, and few people, eight souls were saved by water. Saved by water. Saved by water. And then he goes, the like figure, just a figure, whereunto even now baptism does also save us. Not, and he goes, whoa, not by the putting off of the filth of the flesh, but by the answer of a good conscience to God. Because God has told us to get baptized, and people don't do it. They don't want to do it. They're chickened or whatever it is, or defiant, whatever it is. I see it all the time. People have been in church for 25 years, and finally they're like, well, you know, I was sprinkled as a baby. I'm like, really? You've been a church member for 8 years, 6 years, 5 years? You're under preaching all the time, and you haven't been convicted to be baptized? Man, the first time I heard it, I didn't know anything about it. I was Catholic. And I remember first time going to independent Baptist church, and they said, you're supposed to be baptized. I went like this, yes, sir, whatever I'm supposed to do, sir. You know what I mean? Like, I would have made a good soldier, because I like taking orders. I literally like them, as long as that's my job, to take orders. Now, I don't want to take orders from people I'm not supposed to take orders from. Nobody does. But my point is when the captain says jump, you jump. And captain said, yeah, I don't have to ask questions. See, I was a boss. I know what it's like. You tell your employee, right, do this. And what do you, why? Can I do it this way? And you're like, will you just do what I told you? And you're sitting there arguing and back and forth. You know what I mean? Like they know better. Just do what you're told. Amen. My goodness, it's the simplest thing in the world. Husbands, do what you're told. I'm like, kidding, sorry. But yes, husbands. And wives, do what you're told. And children, do what you're told. And employers, please, do what you're told. Amen? And bosses, do what you're told. God bless you. And he says that an answer of a good conscience towards God. And I really believe with all my heart that if you will exercise yourself with a good conscience. Now the first step to searing your conscience is just putting it off. Have you ever been, your conscience said, maybe even tonight through the little teaching, your conscience said, you know what, I probably should tell so-and-so I'm sorry. Did that happen to come into anybody's heart? Just Bob, that's it. Just Bob and 2, 3, 4, 5, good, me too. And that's what it is you have to exercise that. You can't, like, if you don't exercise it, it's going to go away. And what happens is, but now you get circumcised in your heart by the word of God. And you got washed and cleansed, and now your conscience is getting a revitalization. And now your conscience is going to start saying, okay, are you ready to start again? You ready to start walking with the Lord, talking with the Lord, being like Jesus, having him an example? And you're like, yes, Lord, I am. Well, then go tell sister so-and-so you're sorry. Go tell brother so-and-so you're sorry. And they probably won't even know you did anything, but it's not for them. It's for you. It's for your conscience. So you can sleep in your bed at night and say, my conscience is clear between God and man. And guess what? You do it one day, you're probably going to have to do it the rest of your life. That's called your exercising your conscience, your faith. Everybody get all that? Any questions on any of that stuff? Amen. Did you, Bob? You all, go ahead, sir.
Well, this is a process that continues every day.
Yes. So I said every day. Amen. That's right. Process every day. Every day, keeping your conscience clear. Amen. Any questions tonight, guys? Amen. I hope and pray the Holy Spirit spoke to you. Brother Cliff, could you play a little bit? Let's please stand. Have a small invitation time between you and the Lord. Maybe somebody here now needs to confess some faults to the Lord. Maybe somebody here now can come to this old-fashioned altar, bow before the Lord, and just talk to God and ask God to forgive you. Maybe you had a bad thought, a bad intent in your heart. Maybe you thought bad of somebody. Whatever it is, doesn't matter what it is. If your conscience has spoken to you, let him do his job. That's the Spirit of the living God inside of you. The Spirit of the living God. Maybe God told you when you go home, maybe you should say you're sorry to somebody. Maybe you should call someone. Write them. Write a letter. That would be nice. But get it right between God and man. Guarantee you're going to feel so much better. Guarantee. The greatest guilt of a conscience is when your conscience doesn't speak to you, but the Holy Ghost does and says, you're lost. You're going to hell. You're not saved. That is the scariest of all. When your own conscience doesn't even tell you that, but the Holy Ghost of God does. That's when you need to really get saved and make it your heart right. God forbid you would leave the service, leave the church, with the slightest chance you'd go to hell when you died. God forbid. God forbid. Your conscience knows. As the music plays, why don't you let yourself think? Let yourself talk to yourself. If you've wronged anybody. I want to apologize today for going real long in the service. For not doing the best job I could. I was rushed and tired. Didn't do right. Didn't go right. Apologize for that. God is good, isn't he? He that is pure, all things are pure. He that is holy, all things are holy. But to him that is defiled, all things are defiled, even his conscience. Please, don't let your conscience be defiled. Thank you for coming tonight. Love you all. We've got a great church. Great group of people. Great church. Thank you for Tom coming tonight and praying, asking Christ to save his soul. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask Brother Ken. Ken, I just want to tell you, I really appreciate you. You and your family. I love you and your family. Still eating your wife's cookies? I am. They're going to last me about 2 months. I just nibble away at them, enjoy each one. But Brother Ken, if you could close us in a word of prayer, I'd really appreciate it. Brother Ken.